This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 394, recorded on 11-26-2014. That is in the United States, the day before Thanksgiving. And I am thankful for you guys, even XV.
Yeah.
XV and I are like, before we started, but I've calmed down. So
it's okay. Making some jokes at Don and Diecast expense has refreshed us.
It made us feel better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was telling
Don. Always glad to help.
Yeah. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, we have the human target, Don Ferguson, XV, Rob Clay, Melvar, and Diecast.
Great. I'll be another DC book canceled.
Actually, you're not a female character, so you're probably pretty safe.
No, they had a book called The Human Target that was canceled.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Never heard of it. I just pulled that out of my butt. I'm not going to put it back. Okay, so let's go ahead and, gosh, Thanksgiving's tomorrow, which means that some people are probably surprised what we're recording. I actually kind of forgot. I got home early from work and went to sleep. And it was great. So I was scrambling at 8 o'clock trying to put the show together. I'm sorry, XV. And all of you guys. So, but I do have to, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. It's going to work out. No Rob Springer this week. He bailed at the last minute. Thanks, Rob Springer.
For tacos.
Company taco party.
Yeah, tacos are
if there is any reason to not be here, that's it.
I know. I thought he was joking when he said that, but apparently not. Apparently they're actually having a Thanksgiving taco party.
That's probably like, hey, we have like $10. What can we do for a party? Let's have tacos.
No, but seriously, like, a Thanksgiving taco party. What part of that does not sound awesome?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. You know, Taco Bell isn't as cheap as it used to be. I don't know if anybody's
noticed. Oh, hell no.
They've gone up.
Now, if you have a Jack in the Box, though, you can get 20 tacos for $10.
20 tacos? Wow.
It might even happen by Christmas if you order now.
That was that one Jack in the Box we went to.
Yeah, usually they're not nearly that slow.
As long as we don't go back to that one Steak and Shake.
No, that was pretty terrible.
Oh, I haven't had a Steak and Shake in so long.
Or as long as
I almost scheduled a flight down there.
As long as XV and I don't go back to that Walmart.
That entire Walmart smelled like fart.
Total fart. Let's see here. Let's see here. On the show this week, we are going to... I'm not having Q&A with Rob Springer, so we won't have that. So I'll scratch that off. We have the news this week in history. We're going to talk about what we are thankful for, because it's seasonal and it fills time, so, we're going to head and do that. I want to remind everybody, actually I'm not reminding since I haven't told you before, the new episode of Audio Night Theater, Audio Nights Theater is now on the site at tfradio.net/, I think it's AKT.
You should really check on this before you start saying it.
I know. But there's an Audio Nights Theater, icon there, you just click on it. And you can also go to audionightstheater.com. But it's for those of you that don't know, it's an audio recording of More Than Meets the Eye. And this is issue 4. So Ninja Dave is leading that. And it's turning out to be pretty popular. I wish I had been more involved.
And you just want to be able to take more credit.
Exactly right.
Now, is this the one where McFeely is reprising his role as Megatron?
Yeah.
Okay, if anyone has not heard Chris McFeely's Megatron, you will be blown away by it. It is awesome. It is Ravage. His Megatron and his Ravage is absolutely awesome.
I mean, he does like a spot-on Corey Burton Megatron.
Yes,
it's amazing. But, I mean, McFeely is good with voices. Anybody who listened to any of Fanboy Versus, which I know is a scarce few people, but anybody who listened, you know, would know McFeely's voice acting traits.
When he was doing Ragman from Sinister Six, Six, I believe. God, I didn't read the comic, and I almost went and bought the comic just with McFeely doing the voices.
Okay, so last month, when I was putting together the formerly unofficial RFC. I was looking through my files, trying to see what I had on hand that I didn't have to, like, recreate from scratch, and I found... I think we used it for, like, an interstitial, but it was a clip from a Fanboy Versus where he was reading a passage from... I don't remember what book. Dude who can absorb any... No. He can, like, take on any skill just by seeing it done once.
Taskmaster.
Yeah. Taskmaster. He was reading a passage from a Taskmaster issue... And just, like, jumping between accents and everything. And it was just really fun to listen to because I'd completely forgotten about that. I think I'm the one who cut that segment out for the commercial in the first place because we needed, like, a Fanboy Versus promo thing. And that's what he had done that week. So.
Well, heck, I remember Gail Simone wrote into the show. I think it was Gail Simone.
Yeah.
And said that she just couldn't believe how accurate – he made the voice, because I think she said something along the lines of, the voices he was doing is the voices she heard in her head when she was writing the character.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It is.
But yeah, so but Audio Nights Theater episode 4 is up, so go check that out. And one more thing, TFU.info is trying to up their archive. So TFU.info is pretty much the internet archive of Transformers action figures. It's pretty awesome. Our friend Anthony Brucalli runs that, and he has, I believe, updated the help page of toys and photos that are needed. So if you go to tfu.info/help.htm, you can actually see the listing of toys that they still need photos of. It's a really great initiative. When he started this, I'm like, man, you're crazy, but he has really kicked butt with this. It is the internet's biggest archive of Transformers toys. And there are quite a few things that they need filled gap-wise, so why don't you go help them out, because they're awesome. Okay, let's go ahead and let's see here, what have we got? Oh yeah, also, leave us reviews on iTunes, because it's important. It would really help us out. It's free. It helps us out. It's free. It's really free. Costs you nothing.
Except time and effort.
And it helps us out.
It only takes a second.
It only takes a second. We'll stop doing the podcast if you don't do it. And we
really?
We'll hold XV hostage. We will cut off an XV digit for every review that we don't get.
I'm going to go get some extra fingers to sew on.
So let's see here. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. So back in 2000, Kid Rhino released Dinobot Island Part 1 and 2, Desertion of the Dinobots Parts 1 and 2, and SOS Dinobots on VHS. I remember that being such a big deal when all those things were released on VHS, and that's just kind of silly and quaint now that we thought that was so huge.
Oh, VHS.
It was kind of huge at the time because it was, you know, first time in like 10 years those episodes were released. I think some of those came out on the FHE videos, didn't they?
SOS Dinobots did, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, weren't we into DVDs by then? What?
It was like, it was just starting to transition.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was before we got the box sets. That was like 2002.
Here's the thing, Brian. I don't remember this. I do not remember this at all.
Oh, you stumped on. That's pretty wow. Good.
Yeah, I had a Blockbuster locally, and I don't.
Your Blockbuster probably still had the FHE videos done. Well, no, I mean seriously, the Blockbuster that was here and closed a couple years ago, you know, into the mid 2000s, they had FHE Transformers videos on the shelf still.
I bought all mine used from Action Video that used to be pretty big around in this area for like $2 and $3 a piece. I got one or two at Suncoast when they were closing.
I have a couple from Errol's if anybody had one of those.
I had forgotten that Rebirth and the Villains Ultimate Doom DVDs were actually released before the box set.
Yeah, the single discs.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Kind of odd. I don't really remember that. But there's a listing of Rhino DVDs on TF Wiki, and yeah, they released a dozen, a little more than a dozen Transformers VHS tapes between 1999 and 2001.
And the one thing about the Family Home stuff is that those actually became the working titles for the episodes. Because I remember something about the Family Home had to, because we didn't get the names originally on the broadcast, I believe. And they went back and added the names from the Family Home covers to subsequent airings, I think.
Really? I didn't know that.
I was told this many years ago. I remember there were some episodes that didn't have a title, and on the initial showing, it just started, in some markets, it just started showing with no title, and they used the Family Home video covers when it was ever rebroadcast.
I didn't know. I know with the Kid Rhino DVD releases of the show, that they used some Betamax copies that didn't have the episode titles and such, and they actually went back with the help of Zobivor and recreated what those episode titles had looked like. But I guess that makes sense then, that the original airings might not have included that. But yeah, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Did that person also tell you that in Transformers movie, the original airing that Optimus Prime actually crumbled to dust and blew away? Because that actually didn't happen. Just saying.
I'm trying to figure out how much of this Brian believes and how much of this is just a slow build-up for Burn Dawn.
I'm just saying that's what I was following a very long time ago, and I can't remember all the details. But
yeah, remember how we used to try to do Peter on the spot? Can we just make, a new pop-up segment, Burn Dawn?
Burn Dawn down. No, that's entirely possible. I mean, it's entirely possible that happened. So, but one of those... I remember a lot of things like that never actually happened.
Well, I remember there was a season 2 episode, which there was no opening music, there was no... It was just sound effects and background noise. There was no... They did not overlay the Transformers theme.
That sounded like a nightmare or something that you dreamed.
No, it was. It was a season 2, because I remember because it was season 2.
I watched The Gambler once, and oh my god, it just went straight into the episode, and I just went,
Okay. Anyway, moving along.
I'm sorry, Don.
Yes, moving along.
Happy Thanksgiving, Don.
Aren't you thankful to be here, Don?
Yeah.
The sad part is he probably is.
Oh, Don, I'm sorry. I know this is the bright spot of your week.
Yeah, this is the highlight of my week, everybody.
I have a 12-hour day tomorrow, okay? From 16 to 6 p.m.
That's
and we're
done.
Making him look forward to that right now.
Yes, you are.
Don, we love you.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
I'm making you look forward to work.
I'm just in a funny mood. I shouldn't have slept before the show.
So what you're saying is Don's going to pull an all-nighter at the Google Plus Hangout, which is right after the show.
Oh, okay,
live.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, good plug. Good plug. But yeah, so VHS tapes were important to us at one point. They're not now. Jumping to the news. So, this happened, I first learned about this, was, I guess, after the show last week.
Yeah, I think it came out Thursday last week.
So, Philip Morris has, they've put in, I guess, an injunction against Takara, or whoever, to release Marlboro exhaust stuff, Masterpiece Toy in the U.S.
Has it expanded from the first report?
Well,
what I remember is that they sent Big Bad Toy Store specifically a letter saying, you can't sell this because so-and-so. And then apparently nobody else has gotten that or spoken up about getting it because it's still for sale everywhere else.
Yeah, on Facebook, I saw Orson said he never got anything. And he said if he did, it might actually just go to private sales on eBay and go off his website. So I'm not actually too worried about not getting this.
No, well, and like... What I'm thinking of this right now is that Big Bad Toy Store is like the big visible target.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they are the online retailer that someone's going to notice selling this. And the other ones, like, a quick Google search will give you everybody who's selling these or pre-selling these. But, you know, if they just are going for the one big target and not looking too hard... Yeah, I think Big Bad might be the only one that ends up getting affected by this right now.
Well, actually, if you check TF Source, they had a little black logo over it like
yeah, they put a black bar, sensor like, bar over the like distinctive parts of the logo.
So in case they do a Google image search, it doesn't come up.
And
that was my like admittedly half joking suspicion, but I think at the same time it's more like a middle finger to the whole thing.
But and now the they actually took it off their page completely too. If you search exhaust or MP23, you will not get any. It will not return a search on their site. So I'm thinking the letter went to them too. They're obviously.
Just me thinking because I am insane. Like, oh, I am the other big Transformers retailer out there. Of course, I should be getting this letter. So if I take this off, this elevates us.
Well, yeah, they're doing this preemptively, just. So, you know, they might be taking pre-orders down, but when they get their supply, if they're still getting their supply of it, they'll just throw them up once they're in stock and sell as many as they can.
Or put them on eBay. Don, another
smaller retailer, I'm sorry, Don, real quick, another smaller retailer, because this is all I have on this, actually photoshopped the red on the legs to be purple. Try and avoid this.
Now, from what I read, it was all based on some geometric designs was too close to their. It wasn't the actual design overall. It was a geometric shape that they took that they said was a problem.
Okay, so like you know what Marlboro cigarette packaging looks like?
Yeah. My parents smoked years. I know.
You know, exhaust does not have the actual brand naming on it, of course, but. They still have the color and the
pattern,
distinctive shape. But yeah, the distinctive pattern.
It'd be like having golden arches and trying to sell it.
Right. I mean, it's. I will just say it's tenuous, but it's a thing where you know they can take it to court for as long as they need to for whatever retailer to have to give up out of bankruptcy.
And yeah, and Big Bad Toy Store is not large enough to fight this.
Right. Well, and you know, like the thing too is that you know what TF Source was doing. It was funny and all, but ultimately that wouldn't have been a defense either. Like the big thing that was in the letter to Big Bad Toy Store was this contradicts the law that you can't sell stuff with tobacco advertising to children. This is a toy, even if it's meant for adult collectors. So the association is still there. That's as much as the potential trademark infringement.
Right.
You know, that's what's making this a situation.
Because what the way I was looking at it was the average person buying this below the age of 20 is not going to know what that geometric design means in relation to a pack of cigarettes.
Sure they will.
When they buy a transformer.
People see cigarette boxes every day. I mean,
welcome to a gas station, Don. Don, our favorite place, Sheets. You go to the register. They're there.
Don, here's what you do. Listen. Here's what you do. On one day next week, when school's back in session, go to the schoolyard, find a 10 or 12 year old, and ask him if he knows what this is. Show him a pack of cigarettes.
There's one problem with that. He's not allowed near the schoolyards.
Make sure there's a video camera present, Don.
Oh God, let's not.
While you're at it,
Don is allowed. Don is allowed in schools. Don should actually be sent to all schools so that he could do a motivational speech during an assembly.
There's the reason I brought that up is because the average person buying this toy is either going to be already smoking and is aware of this. Or has no connotation to think of this as akin to a pack of cigarettes.
I would say the average person buying this is probably just like the average person across the United States. So whatever percentage of people who smoke in the U.S. or exact same percentage of people who are smoker are going to buy this. So they're aware, they're not aware.
And either way, like, you know, they changed the tobacco advertising laws in the mid-90s, so it's not near as prevalent, but you still cannot, like... I want to say you can't exist in this country and not recognize cigarette trade dress.
It would be hard.
I agree.
Yeah.
It just seems to me that the stress between someone buying this toy and thinking cigarettes and not already be smoking at that point was kind of thin. But
the Transformers brand as a whole is still recognized as being geared towards children.
Whether it's Hasbro or Takara.
Whether it's an adult collectible line or not, it still falls under the Transformers banner.
And Don, this is why you're on the show, because you think differently than the rest of us, and it creates conversation. So you're awesome. Right. You're fulfilling your existence, Don.
And, you know, I mean, this is a thing that's going to come up as the situation develops, as this toy approaches release, where, you know, yeah, there's going to be the argument that this is a toy meant for older collectors, but at the same time, do the Japanese Masterpiece toys have, like, a label on the box, you know, ages such and such and up?
I couldn't read it if it did.
I can
numbers are the same in English and Japanese.
I don't know what the number means. It could be the number. It could be the mass of it. For all I know,
here, I'm looking right now.
I know it's got the sad Pac-Man on it.
The sad Pac-Man. Here, it's true. Yeah,
I see 1982 on there somewhere.
There are lots of numbers on it. It's impossible unless you read kanji.
The point though is that like a toy like this. The age range recommended probably be, you know, 14 to 16 and up. So even with that on there, that's still below smoking age. So it would still be...
What about in Japan? Yeah.
But it's still a toy either way.
I don't exactly know what the smoking laws are in Japan.
Probably much looser. Yeah. So, yeah, let's go ahead. I'm tired of talking about tobacco. We had another show about that, and it just angered me. Let's just...
We did?
Yeah. You might not have been on that one. Rob went crazy. Rob Springer went crazy.
What did he do?
We got complaints about that episode, so I'm just moving along.
Okay. The point is though, just toy for older collector or not, it's still a toy, and it's going to be seen as a toy from a legal standpoint. And
exactly, sold in
like
Toys R Us.
Like those seamless skin toys that I was showing you before, those are still considered toys. Hey, so Hasbro is releasing Masterpiece Ultra Magnus in Hong Kong and Australia anyway. So there you go.
Limited to, like, 400 pieces or something.
And it'll only cost you $300, I think, in Australia.
So our bet's already over, isn't it, Diecast? That bet that we had? That one's already... This wouldn't resolve that bet anyway, but...
No, it's got to be U.S.
Actually, Melvar, I think it's $300 Australian, which I have not run through XC Converter, I would hate to see what that is. Well, here's the thing. I bought, I told y'all off last week, I bought the Solo Chip Gogan God March for my friend Ing, who lives in Australia. Buying it from Big Bad Toy Store, paying shipping to me shipping it to him, him paying me back for all that, it's so cheaper than him buying it locally from an import store in Australian dollars.
Yep.
So, do you want to know a neat trick you can do on the internet?
That's how bad it is.
If you know the three-letter abbreviation for a currency, you can put in Google number of this currency to this currency. So $300 Australian is 256 U.S.
Man, that exchange rate's gotten better.
Really?
Yeah. Well, better is a really subjective.
And Brian, it's not as better as the yen exchange rate, but okay.
Yeah, the exchange rate's only part of the story anyway. I mean, it's not the whole of the story. What were you going to say, Diecast?
I was going to say our bet kind of makes me nervous because if we were going to find out about a U.S. release of Ultra Magnus, it would probably either be Toy Fair or like San Diego Comic-Con, and I really worried that they'd actually announce this at San Diego Comic-Con.
I think our bet also expired by Charticon 2014, which didn't happen. So I think
2015.
2015?
Yeah, it was never going to be 2014. So.
Well,
we would have had till August 2015, so I still have a little bit of time.
Help me remember here. At Toy Fair last year, they revealed Prowl and the Grimlock reissue, right?
Did they release Prowl? No, they didn't have Prowl. They just had Grimlock, I believe.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because Prowl released the same time as Sunstorm.
Yeah, the news of it, though.
And I think everyone was a little debating on about the Dotson license being here.
I was thinking that we first learned about Prowl through the Toys R Us system, and not through the fair.
But they did have Grimlock.
Yes, Grimlock, yeah.
Yes. And then Grimlock was out by summer, right?
Yeah, early summer.
So, like, whether we see Ultra Magnus at Toy Fair probably depends on where in the year they're planning for that to hit.
It'll probably be next year's big Christmas thing for Toys R Us.
I'm kind of thinking along the same line, because that's going to be expensive, and when they... we're going to do MP10, you know, that we found out about that at BotCon, and that wasn't out until the end of the year. And this is going to be along the same line, I think.
Yeah. So definitely
same price point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like I, you know, like we said when this came up, if the Japanese retail is going to be around what they charge for Soundwave, and they could bring Soundwave and five cassettes over for what they charged us, they should be able to bring Magnus over for around the same price.
Well, that's a good point, too, because that kind of points to it doesn't necessarily have to be an end-of-the-year thing, because Soundwave was out in time for us to be looking for that in Acid Storm.
At Charticon. Yeah.
Because I remember doing that and seeing those Acid Storms behind the service desk where they wouldn't sell them to anybody.
So we can say right now this is probably 50-50 for Toy Fair that we might see Magnus.
Right, so basically we've arrived at the exact same conclusion we would have had before we even started talking about this, that it either is or is not going to be shown at Toy Fair.
That's exactly right.
Shredding at Magnus.
So,
well done, gentlemen.
Does anyone care about Loyal Subjects, the vinyl figures? I almost care briefly. I know Diecast kind of likes them.
I've kind of lost interest in these. They were cool when we first saw them, and now it's like, eh.
And here's Wave 3. So we have some Constructicons, Dinobots, and cassettes, and cars, and a triple changer. There you go.
I really don't like blind boxes, so...
I hate them so much.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy these because I'm not going to... If I buy one, I'll buy one. And then I'll be like, oh, it's someone I didn't want. But yeah. I'm not going to get him again.
I say I hate blind boxes, but like, or blind packs, but I still buy the heck out of Lego minifigs. So
I know. Really? Didn't every time we stopped on the way back from BotCon, you wanted to go look for Lego minifigures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel up the packages, too?
Yeah.
Oh, he was totally feeling them up. it was a little obscene.
It was true.
I was kind of inching away from him.
I think the reason the Walmart smelled like fart is I was squeezing the gas out of the minifigs. Okay, so Transformers Cloud Wave 3, including Rodimus, is now shipping, apparently.
Yeah, since posting that, we've also heard that Shockwave is shipping from eHobby.
I think I still have that on pre-order.
I still have Rodimus on pre-order.
I canceled a couple because I'm like, I don't really need these things. Reprioritized.
Oh, I need that. I must have that.
I just cannot get... Now, the Shockwave is just ridiculously stupid to me.
Yeah. It's
ridiculously stupid to everybody, Don. Yeah.
The thing with the Springer mold, though, is that it works for so many characters.
Yes.
I just don't see Rodimus working for Rodimus, though. I just don't see the appeal. But that's... You know, y'all don't see the appeal in some things I buy. I just don't.
Well, Don, what about that RC that I photoshopped off of Springer that time?
I still have.
Now, Don would buy that.
Yeah, he would.
No, I wouldn't. I would probably buy it and just throw it at XB.
Cool, free toy.
And then beat you with it.
Hey, don't break my toy.
I'm pretty sure that's how he got that, that one toy, the Tetrajet, I'm pretty sure someone threw it at him.
Well, as long as they don't throw it in the Tetrajet mode, because that thing got pointy edges, that'd be kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Like throwing a spearhead at someone.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, let's see, you know, here.
I know a lot of people bought it. It's just...
The Tetrajet?
No, the Cloud Rodimus. Just...
Well, okay, you got to consider, too, Don, the last time we got a toy that was, you know... An even sort of G1 Rodimus was in 2006, and that toy's terrible.
Yes, it's god awful, and I require a new one.
Yeah, like there's just a general desire for a newer, better Rodimus. This is a really good figure, and the character fits the design pretty well.
Yeah,
the car mode doesn't fit, but the robot mode is actually pretty close.
Here you go, I got a Rodimus for you.
Yeah, I really like that.
If it was any character besides Rodimus, I mean, there's a small list, but I would not put down the Cloud money for just a random recolor. It's because it's a good toy. It's a Rodimus that has been needed for years. I want a third party to make, like, a Rodimus Prime trailer, because there's a 5mm port in the middle of the car mode.
Yeah,
you know, you could hook a wraparound trailer onto that.
Let's do it. Okay.
And then they can sell it in Springer colors because remember that time Springer had a combat
deck? Because why not? Yeah.
So, Don, this should interest you.
I've already read it.
So the Figure King issue 202 interviewed Hironori Kobayashi. I guess Hironori is the one that designed RC, going back to that story.
One of the designers, yeah.
Yeah, so it's translated in English, and that's now at tformers.com. What did you glean
from
the interview? Go ahead.
It backed up a few things from the article I posted when we found out he was one of the designers. It clears up one detail, though. He actually took that RC model with him to his interview at Takara before it was exhibited at BotCon Japan 98.
Really?
So it was involved in him getting the job, just not in the sequence that we thought it was. But yeah,
see how long ago we could have gotten this figure, Don.
Yeah. See, we brought this up a few weeks ago, that he made that figure from scratch, and it looked that good at that time. And mm-hmm. So it hasn't been, the technology hasn't been there to make this toy. It's been
the interest.
A lack of foresight. So that made me a little angry. But as far as the article itself, there was a lot of interesting information. I do like the fact that, the interviewer says that they hope to see the Headmaster's version from Rebirth, and he says, I would love to challenge that one as a version 2. There may be an opportunity now that we have the main form realized. So
I think he wrote that to just, like,
placate you, Don.
Yeah,
to troll
gag
me.
You, I was thinking.
Go ahead.
No. I'm saying, you know, people have asked me, well, Don, now that you're getting your RC, what do you want next? And it's like, well,
a trip to Disney World.
Well, now, but we do need a Masterpiece RC to go with the other figures, and they can make a Headmaster for her, so we'll see what happens.
Don wants that RC repainted as Blur.
In a world where there is a Masterpiece RC produced, and more we're moving to where that's actually a reasonable possibility, I could totally see it being designed where it has an optional Headmaster head.
Yeah.
Because that would not be a difficult thing to do. What I thought was interesting from this interview, though, was specifically that it was cited, you know, there's been, like, the design's been there and everything, but it's only with the changes in Hasbro's Transformers team that they're like, okay, let's start making some of the female characters. Because, you know, it's a gap they've known has been there all along doing classics, but it's only now that the newer people are in that they're kind of open to pursuing this angle.
Well, that's not just the female characters either. That's some of the gimmicks, like Headmasters, they didn't want to produce in the past because of the possibility of losing the smaller pieces and not having a complete figure anymore.
And from what we know...
I think that, you know, what Don said is true. Aaron Archer had a thing on the wall at Hasbro saying, do not make this figure for this man. And, you know, as everything changed, they sort of took all the stuff off the walls and redid everything. And they forgot about it.
And, like, things like not having Headmasters has long been attributed to Aaron Archer, because it's been said he was of the mind, don't make a toy where a critical part of it is removable and losable.
Interestingly enough, though, his pitch for the
Shogun Warriors,
Prime was that it would specifically have something that would have that you could lose, and that he required. That was like something that he wanted for that.
Yeah, the idea hinged upon that.
That was insignificant, he said.
That was kind of like, the way I was taking that from when he was saying it, it was more like, you know, he was trying to, like, basically lampoon the whole thing, where, like, you know something's going to get lost, so just design this piece to be lost and be done with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's making fun of the whole concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But I will say, us not getting a Shogun Warriors Prime is very sad in retrospect.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Oh, the other interesting thing in this interview is that the one of the first things that Kobayashi did was take the RC design to Yuki Oshima, who is the artist for Kiss Players, to do the body design.
Of course.
And based on
shows in some bits.
Yeah, it kind of does. Kind of wish it didn't, but that's why.
What I want, what I want with RC is, I do want a Kiss Players version that includes the RC robot, and then like a small, like, chibi RC to kiss her. They have like a small super deformed RC who's cute, who would actually just kiss the big RC figure.
Well, you know, for all of its issues with KISS players, it does, and there are some issues with the line. We did get some.
You nearly choked me, Don.
We did
some issues with the line.
That line has subscriptions. You'll get to say it eventually, Don. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh wow, that was great.
Go ahead.
But we did get some very good robots from that line. So, you know,
what were some of the original figures from the line? I'm trying to remember.
The Auto Trooper.
The Auto Trooper is the thing that people latch onto with KISS players and are willing to acknowledge later because it's not an offensive idea, I guess I'll say.
Well, now, did we get Mirage from the Hot Rod mold or Hot Rod from the Mirage?
We got Hot Rod from the Mirage mold.
Okay, because I couldn't remember which one came first in the timeline, but that Mirage mold as Hot Rod really works well, and that was in the KISS players line. So, you know.
Yeah, and then for the US, Hot Rod was only available as a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, you know, the KISS players design aesthetics for the robot, there are some good things there. It's just some of the surrounding meta fiction is a little wonky.
I'd forgotten about Auto Trooper. I'm looking at the wiki article right now. Oh my god.
That is some understatement done.
Oh my god, I hate KISS players so much.
But I like the fact that the traffic.
This is people watching who've never seen this video or this photo. This is official. This is not fan art. This is official. Oh my god. Okay.
Thanks to Kara.
The best news in this article is that they're still working on more masterpieces.
Working on more masterpieces.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like masterpieces are going to go away anytime soon, which is
good. Did you think they were?
Well, I mean, they have a tendency to get rid of lines, like so alternators.
Masterpiece has been going since 2004?
You mean consistently?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's been... I honestly thought we weren't going to get much of anything after that MP01 mold.
Yeah, but every year they put something out.
Yeah. I was surprised, though, once we saw, the Starscream mold, because I honestly didn't expect anything after MP01. I'm very pleased that we started getting other things, but, you know, I would say that Masterpiece is an institution at this point. Is it going to end? Is it going to end at some point? Of course. Is that going to be anytime soon? Probably not.
No.
Especially since
they've introduced the smaller characters into Masterpiece, it's a lot easier to produce more Masterpieces more frequently. Go ahead, Don.
And also, like I said, if this Bumblebee is successful for smaller size figures being a coherent toy and sturdy enough to be sturdy enough at that size level, they've opened up all your combiner categories, combiner smaller figures as well. Again, I'm just saying, as a possibility, but now that opens up all your mini bots, all your they've already done the small Decepticon cassettes.
So all the combiner pieces, are they small toys? Yes. Are they theoretically small compared to the other Autobots? No.
No.
So it doesn't make any sense to me.
What they're working from with Masterpiece is the scale of the robots in the cartoon.
Yeah, so...
And even at that rate, I think Bumblebee's a little bit undersized.
I do, too.
But, like, combiners... You know, a Constructicon is, like, a head and a half taller than Bumblebee, toy-wise. But for a Masterpiece, it would be, like, Starscream size.
Yeah. And will we ever get... We've talked about this before, but will we ever get a Masterpiece combiner? Honestly, I doubt it.
I wouldn't want one.
Yeah.
Where would you put it?
It's not even a matter of where you'd keep it. It's a matter of, like, Masterpieces have the die-cast metal in them. They are complex designs. You know, you would not have a solid combiner in the end, and you would compromise the individuals trying to do it.
Yeah.
There's not a way I would see them making, like, a Masterpiece Devastator in the form that we're expecting to see it. I would see it more like the Sentinel Scorponok figure.
non-transparent.
You know, it wouldn't really be a masterpiece, but it would fill that role. It would be it would be about the scale too, because you know, a 2 foot tall static, not non-transforming figure, not static figure, to a masterpiece Autobot car. I mean, that pretty much would work.
You know, plus that opens up if we can get some, say, some good Insecticons out of that or other.
Okay, yeah, Insecticons of Masterpiece Sea Spray. How about that?
I like a Masterpiece Power Glide.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, if Bumblebee in the way it's being sold works, and, you know, they can do more like that, I would really be interested in seeing, like, dropping the Spike and Exosuit component and have, like, a category of Masterpiece that can sell for, you know, 3,500, 4,000 yen.
I thought you were going to say, like, you know, a line of Transformers that comes with little humans, and they would kiss the Autobot or Decepticon, and they would be glorious, and we would call them Masterpiece Kiss Players, and it would be the end of the world.
Well, you know, since Kiss Play was built around Vinyl Tech alternator molds, the figures that exist would already be kind of scaled to the Masterpiece Autobot cars. So, I mean, buy a few extra things and you can just, you know, do that homebrew.
Actually, what we could do, since it is Masterpiece, we could take, like, those Masterpiece figures and then those 1/6 seamless skin things we were talking about on Big Bad Toy Store. The size doesn't quite work out, but, I mean, it would be Masterpiece. So this would be like the Masterpiece Kiss Players here. So people watching live, this is
you know, someone's going to buy those and just like put an Autobot logo on it, so it fits in their collection. Like, it's totally an Autobot.
So this super flexible female seamless body with stainless steel skeleton tan big bust 2.0 figure could go with I don't know, Wheeljack, and she could kiss Wheeljack, and it would be glorious.
No, that's when you need Masterpiece Power Glide.
Yes.
Oh, hey, dress
rep. Why they didn't have Kiss Play Power Glide? Well, because Power Glide's not a car, and they were using car molds. But still, I mean, that's the perfect thing for Kiss Play, the girl who loves Power Glide.
Yeah.
And Sea Spray, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would want a human Sea Spray with, like, Sea Spray
metal
robot feet.
Yeah.
With seamless skin and the stainless steel skeleton and a big bust. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the next news item, which is Brainstorm is now available for pre-order. Pre-order.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was sold out as of
well,
five
okay,
or six
but it's still
I
a pre-order. It's not it's not shipping yet from Hasbro Toy Shop. So.
Yeah, but it was expected to ship in like 7 to 9 days or something like that. So it's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be in stock pretty soon.
So I've always been excited about this figure, but the more I think about it, the more excited I'm getting. I think it looks really good in package. If I leave it in package, it'll be A-okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the one thing about Hasbro Toy Shop is I've found in the past is I know there is an issue with some product packaging for some people, but in terms of speed, most all the pre-orders I've ordered have come in before the dates they showed online.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, I remember getting Unicron from Hasbro Toy Shop for Armada long before anybody else had them in stock. I'm sorry, not Unicron. Animated Ultra Magnus.
Wait. Sorry. How do you confuse Unicron and Animated Ultra Magnus?
Because
it's one of those figures.
They're both made of plastic. They both transform.
Made by Hasbro.
They both have batteries.
But no, it was Animated Ultra Magnus, and I remember it was supposed to be in late December, and I got it around the 1st of November. A lot of their stuff does come in early, so there's that.
And for me, I'm right by their warehouse, so I usually get it the next day. They had like an outlet connected to their warehouse because I would be there all the time.
Well, see,
that's why they don't.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me, Diecast, because I live 7 miles from what used to be the E-Toys warehouse for KB Toys. And that's when I ordered my Unicron from them. And it basically took 10 days to get here because they sent it through a carrier known as DHL. They sent it 2 hours north. It went 3 hours south. and then came back up to me about a week and a half later.
Logistically, that makes perfect sense.
I called and said, y'all, I'm like 7 miles up the road. I can come get it. I'll be there in 5 minutes. It's already left on the truck for Roanoke. Roanoke is 3 hours that way. Why are you sending it that way? That's the way it sends.
What? Yeah, okay. So, the one that's kind of creep that you called them and said that, how did they react?
I said, I'm sorry.
You know what? They hadn't even put it on the truck yet. They just said that so you wouldn't come up there.
No, they said, I'm sorry, sir, but it's already left the store, and we don't have local pickup available anyway. I said, okay, thank you.
But I got internet on my TV. They told me I could come right down there.
So, protected by...
Okay, what have I done to make a gigantic freaking target on my desk? You want a Massey attack? Are you suffering from a lack of a Massey attack?
Massey.
We could use a Massey attack right now.
I can't.
Oh, I didn't isolate... I promised that I would take the video of the fight last week, or the attack, and put it on YouTube. I need to do that. Don't let me forget.
That would be great.
Don't let me forget. That's what I'm going to do.
That would not be great.
I'm going to do that before I put the show up. So, Protectobot's listing found in Walmart in, inventory system. So, is that the nail in the coffin that we're definitely getting this?
Yes. This is one that I confirmed. I confirmed it at New York Comic Con.
Oh, yay for you!
And that's like, you know, if I confirm it, it's like a guarantee.
Okay.
Please, the hair dye's gone to his brain.
I want it.
I only dyed my hair one time.
I want it. So let's get it.
But yeah, this at least, you know, indicates, yeah, Groove's going to be a legend, which was popular speculation. Hopefully the idea I had when we recorded a few weeks ago, where Groove can just clip onto any limb so you can still have the motorcycle kibble on the combiner full pan out, because I think that'd be great.
Well, if he's a legend, who would be the other deluxe...
Rook.
Who?
Protectobot Rook.
Who is Rook?
Hit the link.
Well.
He's the Alpha Bravo of the team, apparently.
Right. Rook, the name originated with BotCon in the 3H days. So, it probably isn't going to be a callback to that, but we don't really know, because all we have is the name.
And Blades will be the repaint of the... helicopter we got with
Blades is
going to
be interesting, because Alpha Bravo has a lot of cartoon Vortex design elements to it, but it also has a Blades friendly helicopter mode. So if there's like parts interchangeability to get different details in there, Blades is going to be where it probably shows first. Like that the way the toys are designed, that's been a big speculation how much mix and match there's going to be, where you can take compatible parts between toys and make different things, make different characters out of them, and not just have straight repaints of a lot of characters.
So the not wild rider of the team, off-road was he called, or something like that, is probably going to be the first aid for the Protectobots.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And probably Swindle for a Combaticon set.
Like, I want to say Swindle's a prominent enough character that they would want to do an original mold for that, or at least as original as they can. But very possibly.
Were we theorizing that Optimus is going to be Hotspot, the mold?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's thrown out there that they might do that, but, you know.
Y'all going to ask Diecast if he had seen anything... about that. I was going to ask that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's notable there's no Voyager listing to go along with this, so...
You just
take
Optimus and throw them on there. Okay. Yeah.
No, but I mean, yeah, take that Optimus, make it blue, use the Motormaster chest instead of the truck chest. You kind of got it.
Yeah.
One of the things I was surprised about on this is we're getting a generation, or it says we're getting a Generations Legends Warpath, which is like, we just got a Warpath in Classics not too
that
long
was, that
ago.
Was, okay, by the time
three
this Legend
years
comes
years
out,
ago?
No, by the time, was that 2012?
5 years ago, isn't it? I thought it was 2011.
It came out right before Dark of the Moon toy line hit.
Really? 2011.
Yeah, so by the time this Legend will be out in stores... that toy will be 4 years old. Because I remember because I was finding a lot of Warpaths and buying them and helping other people who were having trouble getting that last deluxe assortment
to get them
at cost.
I remember that.
And I kept posting pictures of my growing pile of Warpaths just to make people angry thinking I was going to scalp them. It was a lot of fun. no, but with like Swerve and Tailgate and them being made as legends, you know, they're setting a pattern where they're revisiting these Autobot mini car characters in the Legends scale, so this fits, and Warpath could be adapted to become an accessory for Combiner.
I was also kind of wondering if they end up doing Combiner Wars Combaticons, if Warpath might not end up remolded as Brawl.
Maybe,
but I think like as a
tank, I'd see him getting his own deluxe, though.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. There's not really anybody on the Combaticons that immediately lends themselves to being shifted over to the legend size like Groove does. Groove's a special case because that was always ridiculous.
Yeah.
Blastoff, if you make him a legend, it's just more ridiculous than it started.
Exactly.
Yeah, the scale on those is already all over the place. So.
Do you remember the Fans Project Crossfire figures? They actually made the Blastoff analog look like not an actual shuttle, but it had no front windows. It was like a concept model drone, yeah. So, like, you know, even they took that into account, and I don't think, you know, Blastoff will just be a deluxe, and, you know,
probably
that person is just going to be... No, I think it would still be some kind of space shuttle. I don't think that's going to be a problem to do. But, yeah, there's no, like, the legend figure for the Combaticons would probably be something like Blackjack for the Stunticons. It would just be an extra character added in.
I think out of the Combaticons, Blastoff will be the one who gets replaced by a different character, like Alpha Bravo or Off-Road.
How come?
Just so they don't have the space shuttle with the rest of the military vehicles.
Maybe.
I mean, like, as kids, we never really questioned that. I didn't. I was stupid. as adults, like, especially people coming in, not vaguely remembering Transformers, like, people coming, like, people who, like, see this from a website like Kotaku or IO9, go, look, Transformers, those are cool. I remember those. Well, is there a space shuttle? Yeah.
Now, why is it chocolate brown?
Yeah. And, you know, if they did make Blastoff the Legend, they could keep the space shuttle mode or something about that shape and make it where it becomes Bruticus' chest plate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Also, one thing is, other than the Revenge, Fall of Cybertron, Revenge, the Brawl from that series there, we don't have a lot of tank Transformers running around right now. So if they did a new tank Transformer, that would be... Because it's obvious that not many people like that Brawl from the FOC Combaticon. So if they made a new tank, they'd have something for subsequent reuses that people might would like versus that which they don't.
Yeah, maybe. Go ahead.
The Bombshell, the Legends Bombshell, also kind of has parts that look like it's going to work with a Combiner. Like, we should assume all the new mold Legends are going to have Combiner interactivity. That could be what's going to be associated with Bruticus, too.
Yeah.
If there is a Bruticus. I mean, that itself is speculative at this point.
So we're running a little long. I want to go ahead and jump to third-party news. We have one item that I wanted to talk about. We have final product images of Invisible, which is the third-party, not Mirage. I really wanted this, but now that I'm getting better photos, I really don't. So there you go.
Really?
It's all they did was take the classics Mirage and upscale it. It looks like and change
it looks different. It looks the vehicle. Yeah,
the legs and the arms are the classics Mirage.
They've changed the proportions, but an awful lot of the engineering does remind me of classics Mirage. But of the two, I would not compare this favorably to it.
It doesn't look good. I thought it looked great, but now that I'm seeing it at different angles,
To me, the waist looks wrong.
I'm actually looking at this for the first time, and they did. It is just the classics Mirage engineering, but they made the nose of the car where it can fold down over the chest to look like the classic model, not the classics model.
Like, I mean, part of it, like, but the inside of the leg looks different, but that's not really part of the transformation scheme.
Yeah, I mean, it's made more complex so that those panels are closed up for the robot.
I did think this looked pretty great, but now it just
But doesn't. Even looking at, like, the way the joints are structured, even, I can see how this is just completely copied off of Classics Mirage.
Hopefully soon.
And if you're gonna copy something, that's a good toy to start from, but, you know.
It is. But at some point, Takara's got to do a Masterpiece Mirage. And
yeah,
I've heard some speculation that MP27 is going
to
be Mirage.
Somebody posted that to Facebook.
Yeah, I can't remember the source, but.
Yeah, it was never substantiated, but I want Takara to do this right, so I'm going to wait.
I've heard MP42 is going to be Cosmos.
Ooh.
And that'll be
okay,
the
so
last, that'll be
so speaking
of MP154 is going to be Headmaster RC.
Speaking of speculation, then we have MP25, which is rumored to be Megatron. Mm-hmm. What's MP26 going to be?
Somebody had speculated Mirage. I mean, there. Mirage comes to mind, Sunstreaker. I think we need more Decepticons, so I would be leaning toward a new mold Decepticon, but I just don't know what.
Well, you know, we're getting Bumblebee, and we're getting Exhaust from that mold, from the Wheeljack mold.
I'm still waiting on Jazz.
You know,
yeah, that's got to be on the short list too, right?
I'm thinking if they're going to do a unique colored toy. I mean, a unique version that doesn't have that many remolds. Since we've got Bumblebee for Cliffjumper, we've got the two from Wheeljack, we've got the Dotson Brothers undone. So it's probably about time for a mold that can be recolored several more times to help spread the cost out over the mold. So I'm guessing Ironhide and Ratchet is what I'm guessing.
Key characters.
I'm hoping.
So.
Or Inferno.
The Inferno Grapple.
See, like, if they do Inferno and then Jazz, you know, they've got two back-to-back that have...
Hardfire and Stepper. Exactly.
Right.
And Hauler, if they want to do a Hauler.
Yeah, I mean, that would be e-hobby fodder right there, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
That's why I'm sure that Inferno's got to be on a short list, because there's at least four uses you can get out of that.
Yeah. And Jazz you can get Ricochet from, and Stepper. If you
right.
Stepper, but Ricochet as well.
And, you know, G2 Jazz, because uh-huh. They're not afraid of using the G2 pool if they have to.
G2 Jazz, though, is just so not, like, different enough.
No, I mean, it's not something they would probably do right away, but it's another thing. It's another use they can get out of the mold, and it's distinctive enough that, you know, there would still be interest in it from the collector market.
I mean, I they'll have to do a Megatron that doesn't suck at some point. I know it's a bad request, but I want to see a better Seeker mold, a smaller
Seeker
mold.
I don't think that's unreasonable either.
Yeah, that Seeker mold is so old.
I would love a Seeker mold in the same, you know, size, at least a robot as the cars we're getting now.
Yeah.
Well, and in the cartoon, the Seekers and the Autobot cars were pretty similar in size.
Right.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, I'm forgetting that we're getting Ultra Magnus, so, I mean, nothing's really out of the question.
Right, but Ultra Magnus is, you know, the big masterpiece, and those operate with different rules. Like, you know, through interviews and stuff, we know that, like, the main concern is, when we make the small ones, how many things can we turn it into after the first one?
Yeah.
You know, that's why you got Prowl and Blue Streak and Smokescreen, and you got Sideswipe. And you got Sideswipe, because you can get a couple more out of that, even if one's, you know, the Diaclone colored one.
Hmm.
You know, that's the thing they're looking for primarily, and it was because those sold so well, they did Wheeljack, which they could only get the one thing out of afterward.
Yeah, there's so many things we can get out of Bumblebee that, man, just besides Cliffjumper, I mean, we get another Bug Bite out of it, which would be
Hubcap.
Cool.
Bug.
Hubcap, yeah.
Wasp.
Yeah, so, man, I don't know.
Well, here's
how many of those repaints do you think we'll get? Because there's like five or six of...
They can, like, do a lot with minimal retooling. I mean...
Okay, so, like, what I'm thinking is the GoBot-based characters are probably not high on the list, because Takara was even nervous enough with those in the reissues to drop the GoBot names from the final version.
So I would love a Masterpiece Bug Bite, though.
But it would be interesting for sure.
Hobby.
Yeah,
maybe. They don't seem to have a problem using the decos necessarily, but associating it with the character would be a different thing, but we know what it was. I don't think they're going to do Wasp, though.
You know what I want? It hasn't been repainted yet. I want a Masterpiece enemy.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that should have come with Sound Blaster, honestly.
It should have.
Yes.
Now, enemy and wing thing, and Rat Bat.
Now, Brian, I know we're running long. I just want to bring this up. What could they repaint Star Saber into? Because that, to me, I can't think of anything.
If anything, it's going to be like Destron colors, like they did for Robot Masters. They're going to do like a black and purple version, I think. Oh, that's what they did.
Lucky
with
draw, all gold. Black. There's always black.
It would be nice if they could repaint it into a good character, but it's just not going to happen.
No, but like they could do the black repaint thing like they did with Rodimus and make it look good like they did with Rodimus, just not be a terrible toy like Rodimus.
Rodimus was a terrible toy. I was like on a Facebook group, I forget which one, I think it was Transformers Addicts. And now there are two of those, and it's confusing because one split off. Somebody was like, oh, should I buy Masterpiece Rodimus? And everybody's like, yeah, get it. I'm like, no.
No.
you would be stupid to do so. It's like, how many people... I don't know how many people actually had a problem with that toy, but that's one that I would be very wary of.
It's easier to find out how many people had a problem than didn't, because those are the ones who spoke up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
right. I did not have a problem with my Rodimus, but I only transformed him once.
XVA is exactly right. It's like going to a forum looking for people who had an issue with the medication. All the people said, oh, yeah, the medicine made me feel great. Those people don't post. But it's like, oh, this gave me a rash, I had nightmares, those people are the ones who complain. So, but yeah, my toy broke immediately. Triplet's toy broke immediately. Mm. Almost everybody I know, their toy broke immediately. So I would not buy it.
I mean, with you, Kilby, that's not so surprising, when you get out to other people.
But we've gotten a new Optimus, we're getting a new Megatron, hopefully we'll get a new Hot Rod in the future.
New Hot Rod is pretty much in scale, though, with the MP10, so...
Like, if they revisit that, it's going to be years.
Yeah.
No, if they did a Masterpiece Hot Rod that didn't have to also be Rodimus Prime to some capacity...
That'd be great.
Like, I don't think that's entirely what compromised Masterpiece Hot Rod to start with, but I'm sure it didn't help.
Poor QC. Let's go ahead and let's see here. Oh, yeah, one more thing. We have a few items at tformers.com to check out. We have reviews of More Than Meets the Eye 35, the Drift comic, Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 4, and Angry Birds Transformers number 1. So I haven't read number 4 of Transformers versus G.I. Joe yet. I fell asleep before I did. But I, for some reason, did read Angry Birds Transformers number 1, and I wish I hadn't.
I think it's completely harmless. It's the Transformers comic that is aimed at younger kids. It's possibly the only one right now, you know, considering some of the really horrifying things happening in More Than Meets the Eye, and you know, the biomechanical psychedelic drugs in Transformers vs. G.I. Joe number 4. I do too. It's wonderful.
Angry Birds Transformers, what I liked about it was it started off, I don't want to spoil too much, but it was a Transformers story, then it segued into Angry Birds, and Angry Birds basically became the place where they aligned and became one story. But the Transformers universe that was referenced was an alternate universe. It seemed like an alternate universe to me.
It totally is.
I really liked the mix of characters that it used, because I didn't expect at least one of them to show up in this alternate G1 universe, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would kind of like to see them do, especially, again, aimed at a younger audience, just so, you know, there are Transformers comics for them, a kind of like G1 Now kind of thing with this mix of characters, with, you know, RC there from the beginning, with a movie-inspired Drift, with, you know, some of the characters we saw in this that have been added, kind of added via generations and other things back into G1 retroactively. That could be a really interesting thing to work with.
Yeah, it's just a shame that that was pretty much all there was. It may go back to it, but...
Yeah, you know, and oh, after you.
Okay. No, just like going along with what you're saying, like, remember the Mars Attacks crossover book?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get something written in that style, and where there's not, like, ongoing continuity with it. It can reference stuff internally a little bit, but where it's not, like, a serial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do it issue by issue, and have it be light and fun, and, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek. It would be great, and it would be your kid appeal book, like you're saying.
Yeah, and you know, basically, this is written at the level of a Saturday morning cartoon, and I think that's exactly what it needs to be. Also, art-wise, you know, I'm not always a fan of Livio Ramondelli, but I believe he works pretty well here.
With birds?
Yeah, because of the contrast it gives between the Transformers and the Angry Birds style. You know, I'd love to see, like, Matt Frank do this, but I'd love to see Matt Frank do Transformers again at any rate. But, you know, just the disparity in styles there is what they're going for, and, you know, he was probably a good choice for that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the first Drift issue is pretty weak.
Great art, but pretty weak.
Yeah.
Should I bother picking it up? I haven't been picking up any of the miniseries of anything that's come out.
Why don't you wait until the trade comes out?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I did get Windblade, so I take that back. But
well, Windblade, you know, buy that as much as you can.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Windblade was good.
Otherwise, I'm just sticking to the main series. So, what about More Than Meets the Eye 35? Good.
Well, that's some psychological horror.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
It was done very well. We'll leave it at that without putting too much detail into it, because I had to go more spoilery in the review than I'm usually comfortable with, but I didn't really have much choice in that. Yeah. No, it was good. It's a good lead-in into the storyline that they're getting into right now.
I need to... I'll read it. I do want to read Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 4 first. Love that book. It's so awesome. Let's see here.
I love it. If you don't love it for any other reason this month, I love it for the fact that I got to write the sentence, and it's right in the preview, so it's not a spoiler. Duke murders Frenzy with weapons-grade magenta.
That's crazy. I guess I do see how some people don't like this book, but you don't like fun if you don't like this book.
I think you have to have grown up with the style of comic that Tom Scioli and we grew up with, because yeah. my dad had a trunk full of Jack Kirby comics. I am used to this kind of weird. And I really, it's nice to see somebody doing that. So, you know, I love this comic. I'm really happy with it. And, you know, it's one of those things that I never would have expected to exist, and I'm very happy it does.
And just to clarify, because I'm sure it is, it's an ongoing series. It's not a mini.
It's, you know, that there is no specified end for it, and it sounds like he and John Barber have it plotted out quite a ways into the future.
Awesome.
Seems to be pretty popular, too, so I don't think it's in any danger right now.
Yeah, to date, it has been pretty much the best-selling Transformers comic any month it has come out.
If Regeneration 1 had been the best-selling comic, I would say that was a sad thing.
Primacy was the best-selling Transformers comic for a couple months there, and that was a very sad thing.
Yeah, but because More Than Meets the Eye really deserves that spot, but I will give this one. I'm fine with that being the best-selling book.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Regeneration
awesome.
1 just deserved to have everything better, except the art in the back half. That was pretty good.
Yeah, and at least
same team on Drift, by the way.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Guido and Stephen Baskerville on art. So
okay, well, actually, no, that's good. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
On Radio Free Cybertron last week, Massey 1, Don 0.
Like, who cares? Yeah. It's not like they're going to have, like, anything meaningful to say.
Exactly.
Or
yeah. They're names, and there's a chance for them to reassert owner.
Dang.
Don's
Massey place. Attack.
Good Lord. God.
What did you do to him, Don?
Good God, he's kicking your butt.
Somebody teach Don man, he took about a headset Vine, with him. Please. Yeah,
that was
somebody crazy. Show him how to do Vine videos.
Man.
That was awesome.
Oh, he's still going. Look. The attack continues. This is great.
You're getting your ass kicked.
Massey is attacking Don. He's afraid. There's fear.
Don's like, I'm sorry. I won't put Miracle Whip in your food no more.
He's like, you stay down.
Get down.
Dad, that ain't working, Don. I think you gotta get a gun.
That's so awesome.
I'd be wearing long sleeves if I was Don with that cat.
One day we're just gonna be doing this, and Masty's gonna walk around the corner wearing like a wife beater and be like, hey, I thought I told you. He's still going. Look at this.
Maybe Masty ripped his sleeves off.
Yeah, maybe. So, oh my.
So I'm trying to say this as. I'm trying to say this with the least amount of cynicism possible, but the fact that they oh my God, I can't believe that Don is still
crap out of Don. Look, oh my God!
But this
is the last Don's last stand.
But the fact that they
got from the other side.
But the fact that they reuse the name that's been used before.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We're back. Happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully, if you're in the good old USA, you'll be experiencing Thanksgiving already by the time you hear this. Or you
already
will be...
have experienced, maybe. Depends how much you prioritize your family over podcasts.
You should be listening to us. Your family can wait. You know,
I mean, we are really good for listening to on the drive back home after dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's Thanksgiving tomorrow when, as we're recording this, time to reflect on what you're thankful for. In general, I'm thankful for you guys because if it wasn't for you, I would have a really boring existence. And I'm thankful for Don for being awesome and giving me limitless entertainment. But that's not why we're here.
Damn it, Kilby, you stole one of mine.
Yes. But we're here to, I think, be thankful what we are in general when it comes to the Transformers. And I've got a couple things that I'm really thankful for. And I'm just going to go ahead and start it off. I'm thankful for Kiss Players, because Kiss Players has given me limitless material to work with over the years on the podcast.
On the podcast. I thought you were going in a different direction with that.
No. I have a limited well I go to, and Kiss Players is one of them, so I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Big Daddy figure that came out in 2007 because it's awesome. I'm thankful for Don, I'm probably stealing this one from you, but I'm thankful for the Rebirth because I love the Rebirth. And
I know another one you're thankful for.
Return of Optimus Prime? Dark Awakening?
No. Give me your face.
Yes! I am thankful for Revenge of the Fallen. And the first time I watched
it... Who has ever said those words?
the first time I watched it, because I did see it multiple times, and I've seen every Transformers movie in the theater multiple times. Usually, I think at least three times for each one, because I'm a glutton for punishment. But I didn't actually catch it. I'm like, what did he say? Because the movie is mostly... Blah, 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 blah. But like I saw on Twitter, somebody had said, give me your face. I'm like, what's that? I went back, and my life was never the same again. So, but you know, in general, I'm just thankful for what I'm really thankful for. And I'm mostly just joking for these things. other things. But what I really am thankful for is we've had a really couple interesting years when it comes to the toys that have been released. Like, if you'd asked me, if you'd told me that we'd have gotten a Leader Class Jetfire figure, not that it's my favorite figure by any stretch, or that we'd have gotten a Titan Class Megatron, or that we were getting a, potentially getting a Combiner Defensor, or we're getting Menasor, or we're getting Superion, I would have told you that you were full of crap. And that never would have happened. But
remember when someone once upon a time said victory with ball joints and we told him he was full of crap?
Yeah.
And then we got Black Shadow.
Yeah. So it's not just a G1 thing though. It's an interesting mix of toys. It seems like Hasbro has really taken what the fan wants from a toy character perspective, probably a little too far, because I do like original characters and original series and original lines, but Generations has been really neat. And just the nostalgia nerd in me has really been satisfied with the stuff. And I really am thankful for that mix. I would like more new stuff, admittedly. But I'll take what I can get. And there's been some really great stuff over the last few years. So I'm honestly really thankful for that. Somebody else go next.
I'll go next because...
Okay. No, I'm already talking.
Mine ties in with his.
Honestly, I'm thankful along the same line for having a brand team at Hasbro who is like really interested in connecting, communicating with the fandom. Because like we've gotten the designer's desk videos, which are completely new to this group of designers. And while it's, you know, very public relations-y, you're still learning new interesting things through that. They're giving, you know, interviews at BotCon when they go at Toy Fair, Comic-Con. You know, they're there. You can talk to them. You can find out things. You know, that's, to me, I'm really interested in the design side of things. That's a really important thing to me. And, you know, a lot of what Brian said, too, it's been really interesting where toy development's gone over the last couple of years, too. You know, we're just in a really interesting place right now. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for having Transformers comics, which are, like, the most consistently enjoyable Transformers fiction in years.
Having good Transformers comics is so weird. I'm still not used to it.
Like, they're not just good Transformers comics, they're good comics.
Remember when we used to give Amy crap for liking the comics? Admittedly, they weren't as good then.
Right.
But we're like,
right.
Amy, this stuff is not good. Why do you like it? And, of course, she hung around, and she was earlier to the game than we were on the stuff.
Like, okay, so, like, the early part of IDW's Transformers stuff with Furman writing it, all that looked interesting. It never motivated me enough to actually go and read any of it. It wasn't, you know, it's like the middle point between that and where we are now, where it really fell down and seemed like, why do you even bother anymore?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's bounced back though, and it's gotten stronger than it's ever been. And it's just like, it's riding this wave and it's not showing any signs of slowing down.
So it's stronger than before.
Yeah. Go Zio. No, but like, I'm thankful that the comics are doing so well, that toys are being designed inspired by the comic books.
That is so weird.
It is. And it's like it's the distinction between More Than Meets the Eye and what used to be Robots in Disguise. One drives toy production, the other one advertises toys that are already produced.
Yeah.
This dual state's really interesting, and thankful for the whole thing. Go.
Deadcast.
All right. I'm going to say something unpopular with some of you, but I'm sure it'll be popular with the fans. I'm thankful for third party. And one of the reasons I'm thankful for third party is because I don't think we'd be getting Combiner Wars right now if it wasn't for the influence third party had. It's brought Combiners to the forefront.
I'm putting my camera back on so you guys can see, so you can see me like hold my face and
disgust over your face.
Yeah.
Third party fills gaps that Hasbro will never fill. It shows Hasbro, you know, what the fans have interest in. Like I said, I don't think we'd be getting Combiner Wars if this wasn't going on. I really think we're going to get a Masterpiece Devastator because of I mean, third parties are doing combiners in a Voyager scale right now, so which are about the same size as what we're getting in the cars, so there's no reason that they can't do Constructicons in this size.
I'm not going to argue with you because this is your thankful thing, but I will say this. I would be more thankful with third party, and it's never going to happen because by virtue it's impossible if there was more consistency across third party stuff. Never going to happen.
Absolutely.
But there you go.
And like I've been thankful for third party in the past. I would say this year I am the least thankful for third party that I've ever been, because it is all just like, you know, it. I heard a metaphor for inbreeding once where the family tree is cut down to a family bush, and that's basically what third party is right now.
But what Diecast is saying is exactly right. It really is showing the designers at Hasbro, whether they can officially recognize it or not, what fans want. I mean,
I'm not going to completely credit third parties with making combiners come back, because they tried that in 2012 with Bruticus. But, you know, all the same, I think this was inevitable, and it's just the point we've got to, and, you know, maybe not.
I mean, I'd be thankful in Combiner Wars that at least they made the main character, you know, the center bot, a Voyager, because that's what we said was wrong with, you know, Bruticus from that, you know, 2012 line.
Learning,
so.
Yeah,
there was a lot wrong with that Bruticus. That was just part of it.
I'm really anxious for the Combiner Wars stuff to actually come out so we can, like, have it in hand and have a conversation about where combiner technology has gone since the last time they tried this.
And I just want to say this, because we mentioned Bruticus, and I'm thankful, even though it didn't come out this year, I'm still thankful for G2 Bruticus, and I really want G2 Defensor and G2 Minasaur.
Superion.
And the G2 Superion. God.
You want G2 everything, basically.
I do. So, anything else, Diecast?
No, that's pretty much it.
Melvar, what about you?
Okay, I am thankful for the current IDW comics. I am thankful for the upcoming Combiner Wars toys. I am thankful Dawn has a sense of humor.
I'm thankful for Dawn.
I think we can all agree we're thankful for Dawn and his sense of humor and just, you know, being around and, you know, bringing some extra fun into the show.
Yes.
And the Massey attacks.
Dawn, I just want to say thank you for taking the patience it takes to have worked at Walmart for so many years and applying it to us.
You know, that's really true. Because if anything in life could prepare Don for taking this much crap all at once,
it's Walmart.
Uh-huh. It's a career at Walmart.
But above all, I am so very thankful you got that Massey attack last week recorded, because that is just, oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So, Rob, what about you?
I'm going to chime in and say I'm thankful for the IDW comics, and I'm in particular thankful that, you know, they're not just content to have two of the best comics going currently. They are, you know, expanding and adding Transformers versus G.I. Joe and, you know, taking chances on new people like they did with Sarah Stone for Windblade. That has paid off immensely. And I'm not just thankful for the comics. I'm really thankful for how they are thinking about these things, how they are, you know, the choices they're making, because I may not like every comic they are putting out. I don't think that's ever been true of any comic company. But in terms, just, you know, the majority of what they put out is excellent. And, you know, you can't say that about Transformers comics any other time.
That's awesome. So, Don, I want to end things with you.
One, I'm thankful for Massey when he doesn't attack me, and for
he's a sweet kitty,
and for being part of my family. He gives me a lot of love and a lot of comfort, especially this last 2 years. I'm thankful for Hasbro looking at the Generations line, and giving us some really interesting figures. I'm thankful, of course, for the RC figure finally, just because, again, it's character that has been that could have been made for 25 years, should have been made before now, and we're finally getting her. And I appreciate the change in style towards a lot of these female characters that are an important part of the mythos. I'm thankful for my family and all that, of course, And I'm thankful for the chance to be with all my podcaster friends. It's a shame none of the guys from TFLP could hear me here tonight. But I also thank you.
That was a knock against us.
But actually, I am thankful for you guys. Y'all give me a lot of fun, a lot of grief. I'm thankful for all my friends. And even if we don't know, even if we aren't local friends in real life as far as physically, I consider all of y'all, all the people in the chat, all the folks at TFYLP, all y'all are my friends, and y'all are a great bunch, even if you do drive me bat quantities.
Well, I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to meet every one of you in person at least once.
Yes.
No, that's true, yeah.
Next time you get to meet Massey.
Cool.
And I'm thankful that I've met each and every one of you in person multiple times. And that I've been in Don's house, and he's been in mine. And we're going to live together, and it's going to be great. We're going to have a house on top of a hill, and it's going to have nothing but toys in it.
What you talking about, Brian?
Kidding.
I would like to visit Don's apartment one day just to see the collection.
It's what I love about Don's apartment and his collection. As I mentioned before, there's stuff that I would consider holy grails that he just has laying on his shelf that's been knocked over. That's just he hasn't picked up yet. And so I would kill to have, and he's just like, oh, whatever. It's just,
oh, that old thing?
Yeah. It's great. I was really impressed by it, and the fact that he has a Grand Max and a Fort Max beside of his bed.
What else are you going to do with them? I mean, you know, when I had that Brave Max, it sat there behind me because I had nowhere else to put it when I was sitting in the chair.
True. Very true. Okay.
My Brave Max lived in my chair when I wasn't sitting in it because there's nowhere else to put the damn thing.
So I know that Big Bad has Fort Max, the Encore Edition, on Black Friday on sale. Does anybody else have a special on that Encore Fort Max? Because I kind of like to have that.
Well, I don't. There are some places that do have free shipping. I'm not sure if the price is low enough to justify the difference, but
yeah, I mean that's kind of how you'd have to play this.
Yeah,
see what the shipping for it would be from BBTS and compare to places where that price point would get you free shipping.
Yeah,
because if the shipping is free, but the figure's $25 more than that or whatever the case, you know, it
balances out. If you could, you know, get a pile of loot going centered around Fort Max, you could throw a lot of stuff on there before it increases the shipping cost.
Well, now, earlier I did pick up the Salmore that was on special, the unique toy Psykill, and I picked up the Tempest, which is their Cyclonus, because I think it'll look good with the unique toys Galvatron. There's some G.I. Joes in there. There's a lot of good stuff.
So one thing I want to mention, because people listening probably have already gone through Black Friday if they participate in that before they hear this. But if not, or if you come across any good Transformer sales or toy sales in general, don't forget Toys for Tots. There are a lot of people out there who do not have anything. They're kids that just will have a Christmas if somebody else doesn't help. So certainly buy up all the Age of Extinction figures. Those kids will not know the difference, and it will help clear off the shelf. And for more generations figures, so that would be great.
Oh, Brian, there is one thing I do want to bring up real quick, if I could.
You can't. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Okay. Don't give me an option.
And working retail as long as I've had, I've worked retail all my life. Before I was out of school, after school, I've pretty much been retail most of my life. I'm talking to the choir here, but this is for everybody. When you go out over the next couple of days, remember, a lot of us in retail are going to be swamped, really be
mentally unstable,
stressed,
several long hours, you know, for over the next few days. Remember, we are trying to juggle a lot of customers at one time. All I'm asking is if you go to retail, a grocery store, a department store chain, Toys R Us, whatever the case may be, remember these people are trying their best to help a lot of folks at once. Give them a little patience to help you, and everybody's Christmas will be better without the fist fights.
And if something is sold out that you're looking for, it's not Dawn's fault.
True. And I just checked Big Bad shipping to my house, FedEx, $17.
That's all?
That's not as bad as I thought it would be.
I need to check and see if Kim will let me.
I was guessing about at least 30 or 40 the bare minimum.
I was thinking the 25 point, you know, that was probably right on the mark, but no, that's not bad.
Brian, you don't need to ask for permission.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. True. Yes, he does.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
No, better late than never.
You've met Kim. Oh, hi, Matthew.
He doesn't have to. It's just a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole wedded bliss thing.
There are trade-offs, so there you go. Okay, guys, well, I guess I'll see you next week. So one thing I want to remind people, at some point we
need
to get...
iTunes reviews, we know.
iTunes reviews, Toys for Tots. And at some point we need to get together and record that year-end show. Because it's going to basically be the show that is posted for the last 2 weeks. It's going to be a huge show. It'll take a while to record, and we want to make sure that everybody hears that, because that's going to pretty much summarize the whole year.
Well, I think we're going to have to work that around Rob Springer's schedule more than anything, aren't we?
Yeah, and if I'm not wrong, let's see here.
You probably are, though.
Yeah, I know. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that means that we won't hit episode 400 until January. That's cool.
Okay.
We probably have to do something for episode 400.
And hey, speaking of January, Superhero Time will be marking its 5th anniversary.
Holy crap.
Nice.
Yay. I know, right?
It's still around.
Oh, what have I done?
That means a live that means a live video show, right?
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, most likely the era of live video broadcast passed along with JD, because he was always the one who ran that.
XSplit is free now.
Ah, XSplit may be free, but faster internet to actually broadcast is not.
You don't have to broadcast it, you can just post it.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, live video show, though.
But, you know, it could be a video show. Nobody would have to know that it's not live. Believe me, I've...
Is it live or is it Memorex?
I've wanted to post a show before as fake live. I might have done it before.
Well, anyway, we'll see. But in the meantime, actually, I've been given an open source alternative to XSplit 2 that I need to give a try.
What is it?
Open Broadcast.
I need to check
OBS.
It. Open Broadcast.
I don't remember if it's Open Broadcast Software or what the S.
Yeah.
Open.
I will check that out because I'm always looking for that stuff. Okay, so guys, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Don't choke on the bird.
And God bless.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.